Well, it's good to be with all of you this morning, and I want to thank Pastor Ron and for having me again and for allowing me to come in and just speak. And it's always good to be back at Bethel. A few weeks ago, I was here, and Pastor Aloff spoke, and he mentioned us, and he said, I remember the first time that he met us, which would have been, I think, in 2004, and we were raising support at that time to go to the mission field. And I had given up my job at H&R Block. We were living in Toronto. I had given up my job at H&R Block. Prasad was still working in IT, and we both had no idea what we were doing. We had absolutely no credentials. We'd never done a PowerPoint, but we knew that we were called. We knew that God was in this, that we needed to pick up and move. And we came here, and I will never forget how gracious you all were, and how gracious Pastor Luff was, you were the first, I believe, the first church in the Maritimes to support us, and one of the first churches ever to support us. So I thank you for believing in us all these years. And Kath, they took away the paint cans and the wood. I want to get a picture of that of the scales. I want to get a picture of that someday, because I just love that. I love the vision that there is in this church. Year after year after year, you have supported us generously, above, and beyond. And it just amazes me what the love and the support that you guys share, and it flows out of this church. And we're just so grateful. I'm going to speak. We'll go to our PowerPoint. And I want to talk to you about God's blessings. And this is something God started to speak into my heart a while ago, and I just started to put this together, and this is, I think, for me, is a reminder, and I hope it's a reminder to you about God and His blessings upon us. And I personally, anyway, sometimes forget about how good He is to me and His blessings and what He's done for us, and so this is always every time I speak about this and think about this, this is always a good reminder. Just, my husband is in India. I don't want to forget him. So pray for him. He is busy. He just sent me pictures this morning. They just had a free medical clinic at our church, it was a free dental clinic at our church and at our headquarters church. So he stayed behind this year because of things like this, because of ministry, because things go on, and he doesn't feel like he can leave for long periods of time. So I'm here raising funds, speaking. So just keep him in your prayer. So God's blessings. What are God's blessings? I thought when I first started putting this together about God's blessings, first I wanted to think about the world's blessings. What does it mean to be blessed if you're not a Christian, or even if you are a Christian and you get your head into things and away from what God has said, which I'll tell you I do all the time. But what are the world's blessings? What do you think when what is it blessed if you were living in the world and you're thinking about life in general? So our next slide. In the world, I think a big blessing, people would say, blessed are the rich. It must be nice to be rich. I have never been rich, but it must be nice. Have whatever you want, wherever you want, go where you want. We hear that all the time, the Donald Trumps and all these guys. What would it be like to be rich? That must be a blessing, right, to be rich. Not that there's anything wrong with money, but I mean, that must be a huge, one of the top blessings to be rich, let's put it that way. Blessed are the famous. Oh, it's got to be great to be famous, to be a singer or to be a dancer or a movie star, to be noticed on the street. That's got to be a blessing, right? In our world, the world's mind, to make it, that's got to be a blessing. I'll go to our next one, and only the ladies will understand this one. I had to throw this in, and you can't see the top very well, but blessed are those that can eat anything, and there's people in this congregation, and I want you to know, I always say this, I hate you. I hate you. That one's a bit of a joke, but you know what I mean. There's so many, we get our eyes on the blessings of the world, and then we forget about God's blessings. So when I started thinking about this, we'll go to our next slide, I thought, let me see what does the Bible say about being blessed? What did Jesus say? So of course, I went to the Sermon on the Mount, because blessed is in all the scriptures there, and I read that, and then I looked at it, and I thought, okay, This is slightly different. Let's see what Jesus said about being blessed. What is it? What are his blessings? His idea of blessings. We said, blessed are the rich. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Wow. What? what does that mean? Blessed are the famous, the ones that have it all, the guys on the red carpet. Jesus said, blessed are the meek. Why? What did he mean? That is so opposite of what the world would say. He even said this one, blessed are those that mourn. I mean, I don't know if you've lost someone, I'm sure you have, but how could that be a blessing? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Why? Because theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek. Why? Because they shall inherit the earth. God's blessings are always opposite of what we in our spirit, in our physical, our worldly mind thinks. We cannot understand. We cannot comprehend. Why is it that everything in the spiritual realm is opposite? But that's the way God works. And the blessings that we get from God, the ones that I'm going to talk about, cannot compare to the famous and the rich. It's a little bit high, but it says, I pray for the saints and to be enlightened so that you know what is the hope of this calling, that there are riches of this glory and the inheritance of this in the saints, which basically, when I was reading, was that, you can't see the plot, but it talks about your eyes of your heart being opened. And that sometimes, as I was looking at that scripture, sometimes the eyes of our heart gets kind of dirty and cloudy, and we get focusing on, you know, the having things and our health and that we don't feel good today and that we don't do this and we don't have that and we don't. And our eyes get cloudy, and sometimes we need to wash out our eyes and remember God and that he is Lord, like that song, he is Lord. So God's blessings. So I started thinking about God's blessings, and there are so many that we could be here for days. And if I started a testimony service and said, you know, how you God has blessed you, we could go on and on and on. But so I put it together just a few, so that we'll get out of here by noon, I promise you. The first blessing I wanted to talk to you about was peace. And we hear a lot about peace and world peace and trying to bring peace into different countries. But I'm not talking about that kind of peace. There's a much greater peace than world peace and the peace that politicians and so on try to bring. Philippians 4:7 talks about the peace that passes all understanding. I don't know about you, but I have been in situations where the peace that passes all understanding has come into my life and settled my fears. And can you imagine for a minute what would it be like if we didn't have that peace? If I ask for a show of hands, how many people have experienced that? How many people have felt the peace that passes all understanding? I bet every one of us would raise our hands. What would we be? Where would we be without that peace? This is a man from one of our churches. His name is Mega, and his story is amazing. I love his story, and this is his wife, and his wife is a teacher at our children's program. She teaches the kids every evening. But Mega, he grew up in Chennai, where we are from. He grew up in the city, and he joined the gang as a young man. He joined the gangs, and he ran with them. And all of his life, for many, many years, until he was in his 40s, he worked his way up in the gang, in the gangsters, in the gang world, and he robbed, and he stole, and he killed, to the point where he was at the top. He was at the top. He was feared by and revered by many, 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 many. And then suddenly something happened in his life and the tables changed. And instead of being on the top, he was on the bottom. And instead of being the one that was out and robbing and stealing and killing, he was being sought to be killed. So he began to run. Mega and his wife were Hindus at that time. And he began to run, and he ran, and he ran, and he finally found a small village that nobody really knows about. If you say the name, and even, you know, 20 minutes away, people say, where is that? I can't even find it on the map most of the time. Try to Google map it or try to find instructions to get there. You can't find it. But he landed in this little village where we happened to have a church, but he was hiding. He was hiding there because he was afraid for his life. Unfortunately for Mega, the people that were after him to kill him found him one night, and they drug him from his home, beat him. They took matchets. They cut him. They put him in a bag and threw him alongside the road. And they thought they had killed him. That was the purpose of that. And they thought they had killed him. And they left him there. And the next morning, someone was driving to work on their motorcycle, and they saw a bag covered in blood, and it was moving. So they hadn't killed him after all. So by the time we met Mega, he was probably almost 6 feet tall, former gang member, murderer, killer, gangster. He'd done it all, and he was brought to us by one of my husband's friends, and he stood there, this man, this killer, shaking, shivering like a baby. And Prasad said, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? And he said, I'm afraid. I'm so afraid. How can we help you? Can we pray with you? And we did. He did. And that day, Mega really received Jesus into his heart. And he changed. And the peace that passes understanding came in and took over. And he became a completely different person. I wish I could tell you that there's a happy ending to this story. But I'll tell you, Mega is now suffering from complications of diabetes. He needs prayer. His liver, his kidneys are breaking down. And he needs your prayer, but I'll tell you, the peace that passes understanding, that understanding and knowing where he's going, what's happening, where he's going, has never left him and his wife. And they still walk in joy and peace. I'll go to our next slide. Hope. There's a biggie. I remember when we were living in Toronto, our neighbors were from India, and they were kind of the first Hindus I had ever interacted with. And that was even before I think we had decided to go to India. And I remember having a conversation with her about her father, who she loved dearly. She just loved her father. And he was very sick, and she had told me that he had several heart attacks. And by the time she and her husband had made plans to leave India and move to Canada, he had become very, very ill. And I remember she said, when I got on the plane, I knew I would never see my father again. And I thought, that is so hopeless. There is no hope. What a blessing it is to know that we will see our loved ones again. Imagine again for a second, what would it be like without hope in our lives? Without that blessed assurance. We'll go to our scripture. And Jeremiah says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and hope. He has plans to give us hope, even when we are in a hopeless situation. When I was here, we came home in 2015, and, you know, Bethel, you know, you became my sanctuary because I ended up becoming very ill. Our budget tanked. We were in a very bad situation financially. I remember sitting there and, you know, testimony time saying, praise God, our finances are coming together. Pray that my seizures would stop. And I was, you know, there was times that it was hopeless. It was very, very hopeless. And after I had the first seizure and then I started having more seizures, I thought that was behind me. I thought that part of my life was gone. It was controlled by medication. And yet, here it had risen again. And it was difficult. But God had plans for me. And he was making sure that I would have hope again. What a blessing. Hope comes in so many different forms. And it comes in different ways. We'll go to our next slide. Hope comes in sewing machines. You may not know that, but part of what we do, and many of you know, is that we teach women to sew. Most of these ladies, I would say 90%, 95% are all Hindus. They come in batches of 10, usually 10, 11, and come in for a six-month course to learn to sew. A lot of these ladies are illiterate. They don't have any formal education. Many of them are single moms. A lot of them husbands have alcoholics or don't have ways to, are not supporting the family. So they come in and they learn a trade. And we started this years ago. And our dream was always, of course, not only just to teach women to sew, which is important, and to give them a trade so that they can go support themselves, but it was also to witness to them. So we'll go to our next slide. And this is our last graduating class. And I think maybe some of you have heard this testimony that at the very beginning of this class, when these ladies were very new, we sat down with them and chatted for a while. And then we asked them if they had any prayer requests. And four of them came forward with the same request, that they were all barren, that they could not have children. And so we prayed with them. We laid hands on them. This is all out of their realm of possibility and thinking for them, because they were all Hindus. And so we really prayed and asked God. And actually, I remember praying, God, will you prove to them that you are real, that you are the one and true God? And so we prayed for them that day. And within a few months, two of them have come back and they've had their babies now. But two of them came back pregnant. So pray for the other two, because those two that got pregnant are testimonies to their families, to their communities. You know, they're showing interest in church. They want to come and learn. A lot of them are coming to church and learning. So just pray for them and pray for that ministry, and that we continue to give those ladies hope. Our next slide. This is a lady in it. I don't know if you can see it, but she and her daughter and her granddaughter were sitting sitting in front of their house where they were living. In India, of course, we have a monsoon season, and this was been a couple of years ago. The monsoon, the rains were really, really bad. And if you watch the news this morning, you probably saw that the rains are bad again in a place called Kerala, which is just to the west of Chennai, where we are. And so the rains have come there, and I think they had said at this point there's been about 40 people killed. So this was a couple of years ago when the rains were very bad in Chennai, and I'd ask you to pray for Chennai and for the people in Kerala and in Chennai. If the rains are coming that strongly there, they're going to cross the mountains, and I would expect in a week or two they will be bad where in Chennai, where my husband is. But this family had lost their home. The rains had come and had completely destroyed their home. There was a period during that rainy season, we had about 40 families living in our church, because they literally had no place to go. Their houses had been flooded. And so, taught hope. This is a hopeless situation. It was a junk pile. It was just a pile of garbage, and they would crawl in there every night to go to bed. So my husband has a great heart for humanitarian work. He loves to help people. And so we go to our next slide. This is a house that we built for her family. Just a simple little structure. And I say, we built it. We built it. You guys, your paint cans and your scale, you know, you guys are doing an amazing job. Giving people hope. Such a simple thing, but and such a blessing. Such a blessing. Our next slide. Life. Here's a big one. Here's a biggie. When I want us to take a deep breath for a minute. I'm going to count to three. Hold on. Hold on. I want us to count to three, and then I want us to all together to take a deep breath with me, because it's such a good reminder. You ready? One, two, three. Take a breath. Do you know how many people can't do that today on their own? How many people are laying in hospital beds or at home that can't be here this morning? And we sit and bellyache because maybe we don't have a nice car, or that we have an ache or a pain or whatever. But the blessing that we have of life, to be able to breathe, we should never take that for granted. Never, never, never. Our next slide is the thief that comes to steal and destroy, but Jesus has come so that we may have life. He's our life giver, and he wants us to have it abundantly. He wants us to have life and joy overflowing. We'll go to our next slide. This is a story about a little boy. And he came to us, it was about a year ago now in February. And as you can see, that was probably about 2 weeks after we had met him. But I remember watching this couple, two ladies, Hindu ladies, bring him into church one Sunday morning. And they had him laying on a little pillow, and I would watch him breathe. Literally, I would stand and just watch him breathe. And every time he would take a breath, I'd wait, and I'd just count the seconds and think, okay, he's dead, that's it. And then he'd take another breath. And then I'd wait. And I think, okay, that's it, he's gone now, that's it. There's absolutely nothing to him. He was wasted. So I stood and listened to them talk in Tamil, and I heard a couple words, and I heard 4 pounds and 5 months. And I thought, no, you're hearing this wrong. That can't be true. But it was. He was completely dehydrated, completely malnourished. So we asked the mom, why, what's going on, how can we help? She came up with a very simple request, baby formula. Something so simple that we take for granted, but they did not have the finances to feed the baby. So, where does the money go that you put in the paint cans? It buys baby formula. It does many things. So we began to feed this little guy, and this is, I think, the second or third week I was holding him, and he began to pee, which I thought that was great because I knew then that he wasn't dehydrated anymore. He peed all over me, which was just the best pee probably I'd ever had. I just was astounded. So this is, we'll go to our next slide, and this is him. That was about 5 or 6 months later now. He's grown even more. He's a toddler now going around. But what's astounding about this little fella is, like I said, he comes from a Hindu home, but his grandmother and his mother came to me one morning and told me what they had named him, which is a huge deal in Hindu culture. Naming a baby, it's a huge thing. And sometimes it takes months. It often takes months. And so when they told me, they excitedly said, we've named him Stephen, which is a Christian name. So pray for Stephen. And we don't know what God has in store for him, where he's going. But I believe whenever I see him, pray for him, I remember the Stephen in the Bible that he did great things for God. And I believe that Stephen, this Stephen, is going to do that too. We'll go to our next. So I want to update you on a few things. And let you know how we're doing and so on like that. Next slide. There's our children's program. A lot of you know about it, but I want to bring you up to date and let you know that it's going well, continues on. We have 2 teachers. They're working all every evening, Monday to Friday, teaching children. Most of these children, again, are from Hindu families. They come in, they get the teachers act as tutors. They help them with their homework. We give them a healthy snack. We pray with them. You know, we open our church doors to them and to their families, and it's just a wonderful way for us to minister. Our next. And so many of you know and have heard about our church building, our church project. The last year when I was here, this is probably what it looked like. This is our headquarters church. This is where I would expect that we'll be housing people when the floods come. This is what it looked like last year, and we had come to a standstill. This church has taken us some time to build. It's been a journey of faith. That's another PowerPoint. But last year in December, my husband was praying in the church, and we lived directly behind. So every morning he would go out into the church and he would just pray. And his prayer was always that God would build this church because we needed to see it finished. We need to see this project completed for our safety and for us to have a proper church and to be able to minister and to open it up to communities and to so on. We needed this finish. So one morning he was out and praying, and God spoke to him very clearly and said, stop asking me for this church to be built. Start thanking me that the church is built. And so he said, okay, God, thank you that this church is built. I thank you for that. And a few days later, within a week, we got an email from a pastor in Ontario saying that they were making a donation to that church. And we started building again in January. And then we looked at our finances and realized that we still didn't have enough. And the construction in Chennai is on the boom, and the prices continually rise. And what we think is enough one day is not enough the next, because it is being controlled, by, they say, by a mafia. And so prices are always on the rise. So we thought we had enough. We thought we were okay. And then we realized that we were still short money. We're still short. At that time, it was $5,000. And I'll be honest that we still are raising funds for this project. We are still not there yet. We thought we were finished. But the prices of cement and things like that go up, like I said, almost daily. So we're still raising funds for this project. And so just keep praying that we will see this done. And if you feel to give, please, you know, get in contact with Pastor Ron or with me. But at that point, we said, Lord, we need $5,000 more to get through this next phase. And Prasad said to me, you know, I think you should email your brother, my brother, Carmen Crockett. And I said, I don't want to email anybody. I don't want to ask anybody anymore. Let's just give me some time, and I'll think about that. And I will do it, but I just don't want to do it yet. And two or three days later, I was talking to my mom on the phone, and she said, isn't it great what Carmen's church has done for you? And I said, well, what are you talking about? Well, they sent you $5,000. What? God is so good. He's so faithful, and he knows our needs, and he knows that we need to see this finished, and I know he will. We will see this finished soon. So we started construction in January. We'll go to our next slide. Our walls went up. We have our windows in. We're really to the finishing. We need to put tiles on the second story. We need to do some work in the front of the building, and we'll be done. So just pray that we can get those last finishing touches done on the church, and we will see it finished and move forward. Our next slide. So this was a church back in about January when we had started. And, you know, God is so good. He's our protector. And so you can see the top, the second story. And everybody that's ever been in construction are probably groaning to think that that's what they were using as scaffolding, but it is. And so the guys had a hole climbed up there. They had started plastering and painting and so on. And there's probably about five or six of the men on there standing up on this scaffolding when it started to sway. And Prasad and some of our pastors were downstairs, and one of them said, he looked up, and he said, I saw that scaffolding move forward and then move back and collapse. We'll go to our next slide. You imagine that's what it looked like. But can you imagine if it had gone forward and fallen? I believe God protected them. I really do. I believe God protected them. And so nobody was seriously hurt. So I give God the glory for that. Our next slide. And so there's our church today. That's where we're at. And like I said, we need to finish up a little bit in the front and some tiles in the second story. So just keep praying that we will see this church behind us. And then I always say, that's it. We're done building churches, but there is another village that needs a church. And that will probably be our next project. So just, I don't know why God put somebody that hates to raise funds into a position to raise funds, but that's what he's done. So just keep that in your prayers. We'll go to our next. This, pray for India. I hope you, if you have me on Facebook, you'll see me say this all the time. Pray for India. Pray. It's in our updates. But I'm so dead serious on this. I am so dead. It's time to listen. You know, like, and I know you're praying, but it's time for us to listen and take this serious. I sometimes feel like I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. The world is turning, and nobody in North America knows or is paying attention or is being informed of what's going on in India and other parts of the world. Go to our next slide. India has gone, I think it was from the 31st place of most persecuted countries in the world to, number 11 in 5 years. Our Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, is out on an agenda to rid India of Christians. And I probably have said this before, but I cannot be more serious about this. These are pictures from our last election. He was reelected. Many of you know he was reelected for another 5 years. This was a little girl. She was a Muslim girl that was raped in a temple, in a Hindu temple, so they could prove a point. Our next slide. This is a pastor that was beaten up. Churches have been torn down. Just recently, a church 5 minutes from us, the pastor was picked up and taken to the police station and accused of brainwashing children for holding a daily vacation Bible school. It's happening all the time. Just recently, we'll go to our next slide. It has been now in the news that our Prime Minister's goal now is to have India as a Hindu country by the year 2021. That means that he is in the works of making anti-conversion laws, so you will not be able to convert from Hinduism to Christianity, and if you do, or if you're caught converting people, you will be arrested and taken to jail. So we are in dire times. We are in times of persecution, and we need to pray. We are in the last days. Last time, I believe I spoke to you about that. I really believe we're in the last days. And it is time that we pay attention and that we pray for our countries and pray for India. So I'm back to God's blessings, and my S is down at the bottom, and I don't know how that happens, because when I do the PowerPoint, it doesn't do that. I have to be real with you guys. You guys are like my family. So when I think about God's blessings and when I think about people, I find people, there are two different kinds of Christians. And there's Christians that stand, I say, like this. They stand like this. And God, they say, God, bless me. Bless me, O God, bless me. Send me this and send me that and do this and do that. And God blesses them. And he gives them maybe a job, or he gives you a car, or he gives you, you know, your health, gives you the peace that passes understanding. And we stand and say, bless us. And after a while, God says, I can't bless you anymore. You're standing holding all my blessings. And then there are people that stand like this, and God blesses them, and they release those blessings. This is a very key part. We can remember God's blessings, but we can't hold on to God's blessings. Years ago, if I have to be honest, we had been in Canada. This is maybe 10 years ago. We'd been in Canada, and we'd come back to India, and people had blessed us here, and they had just given us cash, and we had put that away. And we had about $700 or $800 in cash put away in our bedroom, hidden away. And what Prasad didn't know about that was I had already spent that money. Not physically, mentally. I need a new couch. So I, in my mind, had used that money and bought myself a new couch. He just didn't know yet. I was just waiting. All the women know what I'm talking about. But I had it already in my mind that that was what was going to happen. And then he came to me one day and said, Dawn, there's a family in our church that needs help. He had been very sick. The husband was the only one working. He was very sick. He'd been rushed to a hospital. In India, it's very different. You have to pay for private hospitals. The medical bills were rolling in, and he wasn't working. They didn't know what to do. And he said, you know, remember the money that we have stashed away in the bedroom? And I said, yes. That was my couch money. And he said, I think we should give that to this family. And I said, do we have to give all of it? I mean, as a missionary of how many years at that point, a pastor's wife, and still I was greedy. And I said, do we have to give all of it? He said, well, it's up to you. You decide what you want to do. So, of course, the Holy Spirit convicted me. And I said, okay, take it. And we took that money, exchanged it, gave it to that family. He paid his bills. We prayed with him. He walked out healed. No explanation of why and what he was bleeding internally. Doctors could never figure out why, how, what it was, but he was healed completely. A few weeks later, we got an email from the PUC head office. This has never happened again since. I pray that it does. The email said, by the way, we found $10,000 in one of your accounts. Just sitting here. We don't know what to do with it. I guess we should just clear it out and send it to you. And they did. God's blessings. When you hold on to those blessings, God can only do so much for us. But when we release his blessings on others, and I'm not saying that just because I'm Don the missionary here to raise one. I think giving. Give locally, give to Malawi, give to India, give your time. Give a smile, give your prayers, give a handshake, give encouragement. Those are as important as a financial blessing. Be careful and cautious with our blessings. That's what I try to remind myself. To remember our blessings, don't withhold our blessings. Share our blessings. Never forget them. We'll go to our next. See, it's 12 o'clock and I'm done. Pastor Ron said hallelujah. But I want to thank you again. I could probably start to say stuff and start to cry, but I'll save you. I'll save you and me this time. But I do, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you. And if Prasad was here, he misses you guys, and he would love to be here with you. But please, stay in contact. Please read our updates. Please pray for India. Please pray, I would say, for the missionaries at this point in time all over the world. I would encourage you to pray, because the world is changing. And we are in a time now where things are very much different and happening fast. What has happened in India has happened not over years, over months. We saw the complete change in months, and things that I would never, ever, ever expect to say, I'm now talking to you about. So just pray for us. And if you're on Facebook, look me up. If you want to emails, if you'd like to have our newsletter, please let me know. Let Pastor Ron know, and I'd be glad to add you to our list. So God bless you guys, and I want to thank you sincerely, and just keep up the good work. Go girls. Can't leave that out. God bless you.
Folks, can we come forward? Circle around Don. We're going to have a prayer before we're dismissed this morning. Come on, everybody, please come. Please come. I'm just going to gather around her. Donner. And she's going to stand in for some of those needs that we heard about this morning. We're going to believe that God is going to answer more prayers. Praise the Lord for miracles that they've had. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Spirit of God, Spirit of God. Father, we come together as a congregation today, and we lift up Don and Prasad to you and the ministry in India. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the miracles that you are doing through their hands, through their lives, through their church. Thank you, Father, for the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask, Father, that it would rest upon them mightily in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, that your Spirit can do what nothing else can do. We ask, Father, that you would protect them, especially, and all the Christian people in that country, Father, the people in their church, the missionaries around that country, Lord, in your precious name, Father. And that though difficult days lie ahead, Father, that your protection and your hand would be upon them, and that you would strengthen them and encourage them, Father. We come against fear in the name of Jesus, that they will walk in peace despite everything that's going on in that country, Lord. Especially for Don, Lord, we thank you for your peace. We thank you, God, for your provision for their ministry in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that we would be a big part of that. That, Father, we would not forget. That we would pray. that we would give and that we would always remember them in India. We thank you, God, for your hand upon their girls, that you would continue to guide and direct in their lives, Lord, and that your calling is upon them. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we bless them today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for each one in this room. As we go our separate ways right now, we ask, Lord, that you would bless us in our rising up and our sitting down and our going out and our coming in. I ask that your hand would be upon each one and that they would know of your presence in and upon them in Jesus' name, and that you would make them a light amongst those that they come in contact with in the name of Jesus, that the light of your countenance would rest upon them in the name of the Lord. Help us, strengthen us, encourage us. We can share what you have placed in us with those around us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.